Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Why Me Diabetes, sponsored by the Black Diabetic Foundation. This is your hostess, Ruth. This is still Black History Month. And just think of somebody that is low-key in your neighborhood that is doing something good for Black history. And honor those people. Tell them thank you for doing a job well done, because sometimes we have community activists that speaks up for us where others will not speak up. And we also want to let everybody be thankful for another day. We got up. The weather may be bad on the East Coast, but they're still surviving. So today, we're going to talk about athletic feet, ingrown toenails, and corns, that bees on our toes. Because being a diabetic, foot care is very important. A couple of things. Before we get into that, I want to thank a couple of businesses in California that is supporting us during Black History Month. I want to thank Frito-Lay's. They're supportive of Black History Month. I want to thank Chick-fil-A. I want to thank Little Caesar Pizzeria. BJ Country Kitchen, and Me and Ed Pizza. They are supporting Why Me Diabetes during Black History Month. And if you know of where any of these businesses, and you are of color, that means Asian, Black, Hispanic, patronize those companies because they believe in us. So let's talk about ingrown toenails. Not everyone gets ingrown toenails, but when you do, it's going to be painful. You may not be able to wear your regular shoes because of the toe. And generally, you get ingrown toenails on your big toe or your great toe, as it's known. And it be where that it be painful, maybe red, may even have pus in it. You do have to go to your podiatrist and let your podiatrist take care of it. You can't do it with home remedies because that is not going to get it. A lot of times we try to avoid going to the doctor by doing home remedies. And what does that do? That sets up a greater infection or a greater problem. But if you catch it early, you can go to the doctor and let them take care of it, treat it, put you on the right medication, not some of that stab of stuff that you may have made yourself and says it cures everything. Back in the day when Grandma did that, it probably did cure everything. But remember, what Grandma did was different than what things are now. Because back in the day when Grandma was had her garden and her livestock, they were well taken care of. But today's garden and our livestock is not the same. The meat don't even taste the same. So if you have that problem with your toe, you need to go and have it taken care of by your podiatrist, not some shop where you get your nails cut. And remember, if you are diabetic, you do not let everybody work on your toes. That is something that you need a trained professional to work on your toes, any part of your, what they call the foot anatomy, should always be by a podiatrist. because they have the medication and the means to treat it so that you don't lose your toe. Now, if you don't take care of that ingrown toenail and it gets really infected, you may lose it. So you want to take care of it early so that you don't lose your big toe. You also may develop corns on your little toe, and that's due to friction of the shoes. That's why we need to wear the right size of our shoes. I know we don't want people to be laughing at us because we got a big foot or a long foot, but so what? If you have it, you have it, and you got to wear proper fitting shoes. That will eliminate, because back to the big toe, some people, and diabetics more likely than others, the big toe grows, some people, grows like a shell on top. So when you put your shoes on, you have that friction. And I have seen where it looked like the back of a turtle shell on that big toe. And it is so thick that the doctor has to use special cutting tools to get that thick toenail cut down. And they call that mycotic nails because they are so thick that the doctor has to use kind of like a buffer and get it down where that their instruments will be able to cut it. That's how thick I have seen some toe nails. They were like the shell of a turtle or an armadillo. Anything that has a shell on its back, that's what the toenails look like. Now, I know some people are into a foot fetish. That you have somebody with a toenail like that, that is not going to turn anybody on. Also, when it comes back to corn, is wearing shoes that are not properly fitted. And on your little toe, you rub back and forth the skin, rub back and forth on the leather of the shoe until it sets up like a dead skin and it grows. And you cannot remove that on your own. You need a podiatrist to remove that. And they can cut it and get to the core of it where that the corn will not come back. But you got to take some responsibility yourself for that. When you have that corn or that ingrown toenail, and follow the doctor's advice. Stop doing what, oh, my friend did this, oh, my friend did this. Your friend may have done that and may have worked out for them, but not all of us are the same. And so we need to be real careful in what we do. Now, there are two types of nail clippers. There are the big ones for the toes. Now, if you're not a diabetic, you want the big clippers to clip the toes, but you don't want to clip no skin. This is why diabetics, we need to go to the podiatrist every 3 months and let your podiatrist cut your nails. If in the event that the doctor pricks your skin, he can medicate it so it doesn't become infected. If you let someone else who is a non-professional prick the skin, we try to clean it. As diabetic, you know, we are prone to not healing. And then all of a sudden, you start smelling something at your foot. What is that smell? And then you'll say, oh, just my socks, my stocking, my shoes. No, you have set up an infection, and you're probably setting up some gangrene. And then you got problems. Because then the doctor may want to remove that toe. And we're trying to keep every part of our body intact. That is why you need to go to that podiatrist and let them take care of your foot. Don't let your loved ones say, oh, I can do it. I ain't never hurt nobody. that'll be the time that they hurt someone. Go to that doctor. And the podiatrist is not going to keep you there all day. They may have an office full of people, but trust me, they cut those toes, nails quickly and get you out of there. And if you prick the skin, he will medicate you, still get you out of there. Now, you may have to come back because he knows that you are a diabetic and don't want you to, you know, develop a sore where you have to lose, you know, your toes or anything like that. So take care of that. Same thing with if you got that corn on your toe. Don't try to dig it out yourself. Don't try to peel it off. Go to the podiatrist and let him cut it. He will get to the root of it, and he will also talk about your shoes and so that it doesn't come back again. Now, a lot of people, excuse me, a lot of people develop athlete's feet, and that is where it may be red up under the bottom of your foot, and it may itch to high heaven. And that is simply because when you take your bath, the bath area, your shower or your tub, or standing in your tub, wherever, it's not clean, and it develops a little irritation. Here again, if caught in time, go to your doctor, get the medication, it'll go away. With all foot problems, you need to wear white socks or clear stockings so that if there is anything developing, you will catch it. Early detection is the main thing. In anything, early detection is the main thing. Therefore, you catch it before it gets way out of hand. Therefore, you catch it before you don't have to have surgery or removal of body parts. Remember, the whole goal is to be intact. The whole diabetic goal is to be intact at all times. That's why we keep encouraging you to check your foot at night or in the morning, twice a day. So that if you catch your skin opening, you can do something about it. Also, being a diabetic, we have dry skin on our heels, maybe real dry, especially if you wear sandals or shoes where that your heel is exposed. You may have dry skin, and you want to keep the skin well lubricated. Whatever choice of lubrication that you use, the best one that I know of is putting castor oil. That's right, that laxative that grandma used to put on a teaspoon to give you, that castor oil, will keep your skin well lubricated. Now, you only have to do that at night while you're at rest, especially if you have dry skins on your legs before you get to your knee. Put that castor oil on a glove and rub it into your tissue. Put your PJs on and go to bed. Or put it on your heels, put on a pair of white socks and go to bed. And when you get up the next morning, you'll have a lot of flakes in your socks or on your pajamas or maybe on that sheet on your bed because the castor oil will lift up. Not the first night, maybe around the third or the fourth night, it will lift that dry, flaky tissue up. And you don't have to peel it off. It'll just slough off by itself. Now, that's the best way that I know. And I have been treated with that castor oil, so I know that it works. Cause at one of my hospital stays, I developed severe dry skin. And this is what they did every other night. They would put that castor oil from my knee down to my heel. That's where the dryness went from. And they applied that castor oil on. Made it real lubricant. Didn't just rub it in and leave it. You want it to be a little loose so that it can absorb up under those flakes. And let me tell you, when they would take the wrapping off or change my linen that next day, it would be flakes everywhere. Because in the hospital, you know, you sleep in them hospital gowns. It would be flakes everywhere. But it worked. And to this day, when I feel that my skin is dry, if I don't put a little lubricant, lotion, or Vaseline on my leg, and I feel that it's not working, here come the castor oil. And I apply it because I don't want my skin to open up, crack open. Because with dry skin, it will crack open and cause a sore. Now, if you are taking care of someone and they're maybe bedridden, you want to apply that castor oil, get the whoever buys the supplies and get you a bottle of castor oil. And you want to apply it maybe like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you don't have pajamas for them, or you don't have some white socks, then get an ACE wrap and wrap their legs in the ACE wrap. You want to keep that castor oil where that it absorbs the skin. Now, you don't want to put it where it's sloppy, wet, and it absorbs through the socks or the pajamas or the ACE wrap. But you just want it enough where that it'll remove that those flakes. And like I say, we do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, whatever schedule you want. But do it at least 3 times a week. And after 3 or 4 times, you'll start seeing the difference. And you may want, if they're bedridden, they don't get up, or they sits up in their chair, but they don't move around a lot. They may not drink a lot of fluids to keep the skin lubricated. Then just make it a regular routine. This is what we do so that they don't break down. Because if you are not moving around to keep the blood flowing, you're going to have a breakdown on those bony tissues, on the shin of the leg, the ankle, or even the heel, let alone the toes. And one other thing about toes, when you are bathing a person, whether it's a shower or a tub bath, or you put their feet in a little tub, set it on the bed, be sure to dry between the toes. This is the number one area where people develop problems between their toes. And you'd be asking, how did they get such a problem between their toes? Because it's not dried. And it becomes emaciated, meaning it becomes mush. And when you put on the socks or the tight shoes, it gets worse after a period of time. This is the number one reason why a lot of people lose 1 or 2 toes, because they develop gangrene between the toes because it was never dried. And even if you are able to give yourself a bath, sit down someplace and take a separate towel and dry between your toes, because it can happen to you and you up and about. But you never took the time to dry between your toes very thoroughly. You need a separate towel to dry between your toes. Don't use the one that you have dried your body off, because it's damp. So so you're not getting between your toes very well. Take a, if you don't want to use a large towel, get a washcloth to dry between your toes, but a separate towel so that you can dry and it does not stay moist. Because between your toes, you put on your shoes, it's going to stay moist if it's not dry. Bacteria and germs and everything is going to develop, and then you have a problem. So let's avoid the problem. This is why the Why Me Diabetes is committed to you through our education program to educate you, the caregiver, the family, the spouses, significant other, children, church members, bingo partners, in and everyone that comes in contact with you, to educate you about diabetes. Because you can be up today and down tomorrow with diabetes, because diabetes does not care who it attacks. Young or old, male to female, female to male, this white, black, blue, green, whatever your ethnicity is, diabetes has no problem with attacking you. So this is why we are committed to educate you. And we may repeat the same thing, and you may have heard it many times before, but we are committed to try to get to you so that you can live a long, long life. Your diabetic journey will be a long one. And remember, you don't die from diabetes. You die from the complications. You will always hear celebrities died from the complications of diabetes. Because diabetes has so many complications. And like I said, it has no shame in its game. It attacks you whenever it wants to, from head to toe. So that's the first E, education. The second E is if you eat good, then a lot of the problems that you may have can be minimized. If you eat the right food, your skin and your eyes and your heart and all that is going to be in a good range. But you got to eat the right food. Cut down on things that are not for you. Keep your blood sugar in a good range. Keep your blood pressure in a good range, and know what your levels are. Know what works for you and what does not. Know that if your blood pressure is greater than 150, know if your blood sugar is greater than 120. Know that. Know that. And if you happen to take the medication and your blood pressure drops, blood glucose drops, know how you feel and get help. Do not try to do it on your own, because you may end up in trouble and you may end up in intensive care. So know what your average number is and know when you are above that and know when you are low. And let people know how you feel when you are low in your readings, because that's important also. That's why if you eat your meals in small portions, you should be doing okay. Also remember just what you eat also. Exercise is the third E. We all need to exercise at least 5 times a week. Now, the way the weather is in the East Coast and in the South a little bit, you may not be able to get out and do that brisk walk. I know on the East Coast you are. But you still need to find an exercise program that you can keep yourself going. For instance, you may want to go to the gym and work out. And if you can't afford the gym, maybe do some exercise at home. We always tell you about sitting at your bedside or your kitchen table and do some, like you're marching or reaching for the sky or rowing a boat. All things you can do at home if you don't have the finance to go to a gym or if you don't have the finance to have an trainer. Or you can stand and hold the back of your dining room table and kick back like you like a mule kid. There are ways that you can improvise to do 15 minutes in the morning and 15 maybe in the evening so that you can exercise at least 5 times a week. And I know one of the best ways is to, if you got carpet, take a broom and sweep. Not the vacuum cleaner, but a broom. That is repetitive movement of your arms, and that will help you also. Also, for your heart, sit on your couch and scoot from one arm of the couch to the other, back and forth, 5 or 6 times. That'll help your heart. That's a little tidbit that I learned from people that teaches yoga and various little simple things when you can't take a class or you can't go to the gym or you don't have a personal trainer. There are other ways we can get the exercise in. And if you are at an area, at the YMCA, for instance, that may have a swimming pool, get in and do some water aerobics if you know how to swim. If not, you might want to take a class and learn how to swim. And it'll be a good source of exercise. And these are some little tidbits that you can learn to utilize yourself. And you can find us on Why Me Diabetes on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also call us on our Google phone, which is 281-826-9152. Once again, 281-826-9152. That's the Google phone number. Or you can go to the webpage, whymediabetes.org, whymediabetes.org. So we're out there. And when all that fails, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio Tuesday and Thursday, Why Me Diabetes. Look on the Blog Talk Radio, you will find it. I also want to take this last 60 seconds to thank my 3 grandchildren who are with me, Sierra, Kiara, and Reese. They help me to stay focused. But I always, always want to thank you, the listening audience. You are very important to me. And I'd like to let you know that without you, Why Me Diabetes would not be what we are today. I am looking forward to going to California for Black History and put on a diabetic program for Black History this month, which is Black History Month. I always like to thank Arden Drive Residential Home and Jumpstart Media, along with the people that are supporting us for Black History Month, Little Caesar Pizzeria, Me and Ed Pizzeria, Chick-fil-A, Frito-Lay, and BJ Country Kitchen. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart so that they can help get the word out. But always remember, you, Y-O-U, is the most important important person of this puzzle, this piece, this foundation. You are very important. And we will talk to you on Thursday morning. Have a wonderful afternoon. Bye-bye.